Each of us in our own way experienced the events of September 11th in waves of awareness. For me, one stunning moment came when a friend told me that she and her husband, a retired military officer, spent that first weekend convincing their son, a brand new college freshman, not to enlist. Suddenly it hit me that a whole new generation could be facing a whole new war. At the same moment, I realized that many of the parents of that generation had faced a war of their own. A war that many opposed. The terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon will define this generation, just as the Vietnam War defined mine. How, I wondered, are these two generations talking to each other about this war, and if it comes to it, how much are they willing to sacrifice? We asked some parents and children of the two generations to join us for a discussion about the current situation. Brad Cheney is a 21-year-old political science major at American University here in Washington. His father, Hank, joined us by phone from Vermont. Jeremy Bates is a psychology major at the University of Maryland in College Park. He and his father, Matt, joined me in the studio. Also in the studio, John Paul Heasel, an English major at Georgetown University in Washington. His mother, Nancy, joined us by phone from Massachusetts. I asked John Paul and the other students how the attacks have changed their perception of the world.
I think a good way to picture how I felt was the headline from our school newspaper. It read, "Terror Hits Home," and I think that's exactly what I felt turning the television on and sitting there for 12, 15 hours for 4 days straight. It really sunk in that this is happening 3 miles down the road.
Jeremy.
Well, I think it occurred to me what a privilege it is to feel safe and secure. I thought to myself on September 11th, I was wondering if this is how people in the Middle East or in Israel and Palestine feel maybe every day, really uncertain.
Brad?
I think that life really just changed that morning for me. I couldn't call my parents to let them know I was okay, because my cell phone wouldn't work, our phones wouldn't work. And it's just changed my perspective on the world entirely.
All of you are seniors in college, correct?
Yes.
So you're all about to, the end of the year, you'll be graduating, maybe going on to graduate school or going off into the world to work. Is this already beginning to change the way you think about what your future life is going to be?
Definitely. I think one of the biggest impacts coming out of this whole experience, besides feeling safe and the sense of security, is how will this affect our own job security now that our economy has dropped a little? There's talk of fewer jobs out there for people our age.
Let me turn to the parents now, because I think the Vietnam War was a very different experience in that it was not a one-day cataclysmic event, but still it was cataclysmic in the sense that it tore the country apart and in some really fundamental ways, and all of you were around the same age as your sons are now as all of that was taking place. How would you say that that experience shaped your own ideas and perceptions of the world and changed the way you thought about your own sense of security in this country?
My experience was that we didn't understand what was going on. We couldn't see it, we couldn't feel it, and there was a tremendous distrust of the government in the realms that I was a part of.
A lot of my friends went off to war thinking they were going to go fight for freedom, fight for democracy, and found out they were propping up a military dictatorship in South Vietnam that had nothing to do with freedom and nothing to do with democracy. And a number of my friends didn't come back. So I think it makes you really stop and ask a lot of deep questions, but particularly now when you're looking at the possibility, even the remote possibility, I don't know, of having your own children being asked to make a sacrifice like that. It makes you think very, very hard.
I kind of evolved with changing attitudes toward the war. My brothers were in the military, and then I worked for the Army for a while in 1968, beginning of 1969. And I was in California. I was a civilian. And I was counseling young men who were AWOL. I was counseling guys that were coming back from Vietnam. And then I'd go down to Letterman General Hospital and see them in their wheelchairs and without limbs. And I think the whole impact of that was just overwhelming, and completely changed my attitude. And when this occurred, I immediately thought of my children and called John Paul and my daughter immediately. And it's a whole different thing now when you think about your children going off.
Nancy and John Paul, have you talked to each other about this much?
Very briefly. Very briefly. In fact, I posed the question to him yesterday. I said, what are you thinking about that? And his immediate reaction was, well, you know, if they call and it's our government. And I said, yeah. I said, but would you be willing to go over there and kill someone? Literally, kill someone innocent. And he took pause. And I thought, you know, we need to talk.
My initial reaction would be to go out and fulfill that obligation. I would have a personal problem going out into the fields with a gun, very little experience, and shooting innocent people. I would like to do something if the occasion arose for my country. That I think maybe that has to do with my age, my, you know, gung-ho, go get 'em. But at the same time, there is a definite sense of you're needing to stand up for the basic principle.
Did it ever occur to you that you'd be having this kind of conversation with John Paul?
No. Not until that day.
We're really facing a very uncertain future, and that's part of the discussion, is contemplating the possibility of making sacrifices, but we don't even know what they may be. We don't really know what you, the younger generation, might be asked to do, or what your parents might be asked to do, and that's part of, I think, the dilemma that everybody feels themselves to be in.
It's made me kind of stop and think that there are a number of different ways to serve, and that one way may be, you know, on the front lines with a gun, and that may not be something I want to do. But on the other hand, you know, there's other things that you can do. You can go into law enforcement. You can work on the Hill. You know, I see that as that I don't actually have to just serve in the military, and I can serve my country in many other ways.
What is your take on this, Jeremy?
I see it as a trade-off, possibly a trade-off between justice and peace. I think there's a big cry for justice and to bring people to justice. Mm-hmm. And to correct and right wrongs. At the same time, you look over in the Middle East and look at Israel and the Palestinians, and you see each side, enacting justice on the other side and righting the wrongs. But it's a never-ending cycle, and it does not bring peace. So, you know, with all due respect to everyone who lost a loved one or a friend, you know, a lot of me would rather see peace.
I guess the one thought I have left over for the parents is, I guess you probably hoped and wished that your kids would get through life without ever having to deal with this.
Oh, Lord. The biggest thought on my mind has just been how sad it is to have to give this sort of world to our kids where things like this can happen. I feel a tremendous sense of failure.
Hank?
I guess my grief of the world for the children is that I just would have hoped that we could have somehow had it better, done a better job, that things could have been better. I would have wished that we could have done something so that our children wouldn't be in this situation now. The world wouldn't be in this situation now.
Hank Cheney, he was joined by his son Brad with Jeremy and Matt Bates and John Paul and Nancy Heasel.